many of you have seen the movie Jaws? How many have seen the movie Jaws? Has anyone seen it here? I get to two so far. Three. We have three in the room that have seen. This is going to be a great illustration. All right, so let me just fill you in on the plot line for you who haven't seen it. It's a great white shark. There's a big great white shark, and there's this sleepy seaside town, and people start disappearing. Okay, it's a monster flick, so I can see why some of you haven't seen it. And eventually, they have to find a way to stop this monstrous animal, and I won't give away how they do it. It's a great movie for monster flicks. In fact, it designed the genre, okay? And it put this guy named Steven Spielberg on the map. And what was so clever about the movie and what it did for the first time that everyone now copies is that you don't really see the shark until the very last scenes of the movie, okay? You see, like, a silhouette of a dark shape in the water, swishing of the water as it kind of passes around, and then maybe a fin here, maybe a tooth or something, and like a little, wing of the arm or whatever, because it swims past arm, fin. Okay, I can think here. And so as it goes about maiming its various victims, you just have no idea what is it that's getting this person. I mean, how big and how terrifying is this thing? It's great. It just builds suspense until the last scene is really satisfying when you finally get to see what has been going up against these people all along, okay? And then they blow it up, okay? That's how it ends. Anyway, it's really masterful, and every single monster flick, or even suspense where there's a bad guy in a movie, they all kind of play on this afterwards. They all kind of keep you from seeing the bad guy a bit, keeping him in the back. Who's the man behind the curtain? Ooh, suspenseful. Now, we're finishing our time in the book of Revelation, and I think we also have a very real adversary that is clothed in darkness. Who is this guy? Who is he? We don't see him. We don't know what he's like. He lurks in every corner, and he even enjoys hiding in the dark. He enjoys not letting people know that he's there, even though it turns out he wants their worship, okay? and so it's the devil. And this morning, the Lord wants to kind of reveal him to you. Here's what you're really up against. Here he is. I want you to know who this creature is. I want you to see him. But when the Lord pulls back the curtain this morning and he shows us our adversary, what we see is a has-been. He's washed up. It's curtains for this guy. He can't do anything of what he wants to do. Following our metaphor, if he's a shark, he's a shark with no teeth, okay? That's the best I could do for no teeth. He's a shark with no teeth. His jaw is swollen. He couldn't really enclose anybody in it anyway. He's in the net already. He's about to be Jesus's prize, fishing prize, yeah? He's going to string him up. Look what I caught. And so if you're going to take something, anything from what we're about to say in this morning's text, here's what it is. Christ has won, and we need not fear our adversary. We're going to overcome him. Christ has won. You don't have to fear the devil. We are going to overcome him through Jesus. All right, we need not fear our adversary. Jesus has won. Let me give you three reasons why. We're going to look at them in depth. Number one, he couldn't stop nor even hinder what Jesus was doing. Number two, he can't stop us who trust in him either. Number three, he can bother us a lot, but he can't ultimately harm us. He can't harm us. So let's begin with our adversary couldn't stop Jesus. Nobody can stop Jesus, and this is great. Okay, we're in verse chapter 12 of Revelation, last book in the Bible. We're starting in verse 1, and I'm just going to read a little bit to you. A great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky, flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that she might devour her child, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She will give birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. So as we've said the entire way through Revelation, you are not to take this as literally happening somewhere, okay? This is a picture. It is a picture of the history of our world and the salvation of God in it, okay? So this is what the picture is about. And so we have this extravagant woman. She's beautiful. She's royal. She's clothed with the sun. Okay, so that's a way better dress up than standing on the red carpet at Cannes, okay? She's clothed with the sun. She has 12 stars on her hood. She's standing on the moon, and she is giving birth to royalty. She's a queen, and this child is going to be the one who will rule. Who is the lady? It's believing Israel, okay? It's the believing people of God who are waiting for the Messiah. And who is this child? It's Jesus, who will reign forever and ever and ever. And so this is actually summing up the message of the Old Testament and then what Jesus has done. Okay, so God chose a people, the Jewish people, to bring a king forth. And that king came and he died for us to procure for us into his kingdom, to take away our sins so that we could be with him forever. And now we go to be with him and to reign forever. And so actually it's saying that Jesus is a king, he will reign forever. This is actually the case, whether you like it or not. But you should like it. You know, right now we have politicians, always we have politicians, but right now especially true. And we're thinking to ourselves, you know, maybe this guy doesn't actually care about me that much, right? You know, maybe this is all for him or whoever we're talking about, right? Maybe who actually cares for me? Who am I going to let reign over me? Well, Jesus laid down his life. He really loves his people. This is exactly who we want to have reign forever. This is fantastic news. But all is not well. She's suffering, first of all, in birth pangs. Now, I've not given birth, nor will I, okay? But women have told me that it is the most painful thing that you can go through. And I believe them. And this is talking about the excruciating wait for the kingdom to come. And we are here and we are holding out faith, and it is painful. Have you ever thought, why is this world so horrible? Well, a lot of times it's beautiful, but when it's horrible, how terrible it is, the answer, it's birth pangs. We're getting to the most wonderful moment. A child will be born into the world, and he will rule forever and ever and ever. There's also a fiery red dragon. Notice, not a silly man with a pitchfork that makes jokes that everybody believes is not real. This is the devil. This is how he is portrayed. He's not a silly little fool with a pitchfork that's, you know, probably good for helping you get into trouble and you'd have a lot of fun with that guy and maybe you'll go get a pint with him later. The world is dreadfully naive. This is a terrible sight, a red dragon. In the ancient culture, this was the most terrifying beast people could come up with. There's nothing more nasty and brutish and ugly than this. My son has a book, a kid's book, and in the kid's book there are dragons and they're nice and they're fun and they fly around and they have good hearts, compassionate hearts. You know, this guy wants to destroy. That's who he is. We, too, struggle with this. It's not just non-Christians that don't believe Satan is real. We believe in Jesus, we believe in the cross, and we figuratively understand that there might be angels and there might be an adversary, but we effectively just kind of write that out of our thinking. There's nothing going on up there. There's nobody against me. Oh, but there is. There is a cosmic battle. There is a hidden opponent, and he is a destroyer. And look what he's going to do. He's waiting for the moment the child is going to be born to destroy this child. That's a common history story, by the way. A king dies, and his son is supposed to rule, and what happens? Some usurper murders the whole family and takes their spot. That's what the devil wants here. He wants to destroy the king, and he wants to destroy the people of the king. And look, he does destroy something. It says a third of the stars are swept out of the heaven onto the earth. Just to point that out, the stars in the heaven, they don't want to be on earth. And this monster hurls them down into the mud. And down they go with him. We'll come back to that. We obviously don't want to be the stars that get thrown to the mud, yeah? But now, look, he is just a big phony. This is the good news. He's a total phony. He has a crown, it says. Well, the woman has a crown. You see, the woman has a crown with 12 stars, but the devil has 7 crowns. Ooh, ooh. It says that Jesus has 7 crowns. And so it's like, he's like, oh, you have 7 crowns? I have 7 crowns too, right? And then, Jesus has the 7 lampstands and the devil has 7 heads. It's like he's trying to compete or something. And he claims to rule a vast empire. That's what the 10 horns are about. I have all sorts of agencies that I rule and all sorts of nations that are mine, he says. But who's the real ruler? The Son. The Son is the real one. And he's just trying to say, I wish I could be you. I want to be you. I want to take your place. And that's why he's there. And it doesn't work. He's a phony. And look, he fails at everything he tries to do here. He gets down there to destroy the child, but it doesn't happen. He then goes after the woman, but she is protected by God's hand of protection, just the way he protected the Israelites out of Egypt. He now protects this woman in her current situation. We'll come back to what that would mean. But look, he fails in the worst possible way because he's trying to get the kingdom for himself, but the very act of trying to get the kingdom gives the kingdom to Jesus. See, what did he actually do? He crucified Jesus on a cross. It was his doing. That's what he went through with that. But wait, when Jesus died on that cross, it looked like he was losing, but actually he was winning. He was exalted above every man. He died and he rose. And now he's exalted. He's in the heaven. And the way it's described here is he's caught up into heaven to God's throne. So the only thing that Satan is able to do here is God's will. The only thing he could do is resist God, but actually just do exactly what God wanted. He's completely inept. He should not have his job. In a minute, he's going to get sacked. Okay? He's like a dog that has all bark and no bite. Have you ever noticed dogs that are really loud? They're like small. They're like small. I mean, they're trying to make up for the fact that they're like too small. You can't do it. And so they're louder. That's the devil. He is all about the banter, and he's got no bite. No bite, that is, if you belong to the king. We'll come back to that. We need not fear our adversary. Jesus has won. Okay, so he couldn't stop Jesus. He also can't stop us either when we have faith in him, in Jesus. We overcome him. Verse 7 now. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough. They lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient snake called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Ouch. So we have some really good descriptions of what the devil is like here. And God really is pulling back the curtains to reveal our enemy to us. Let's just look at what is said. Number one, the devil and Satan, those terms actually mean something in Hebrew. So it actually means, Satan means adversary, someone who opposes you. And devil means slanderer. Slanderer, someone who's tearing. Have you ever had somebody say something really terrible about you that wasn't true? That like defines the devil, okay? He's like sitting there slandering you. This guy is trash. And opposing you and fighting you. It says that he deceives, he leads astray the whole world. So he's a liar. He's a professional liar. I've been watching the news, and I've been just watching Putin and Lavrov. They just speak lies like it's their native language. They get out there, and they just say things that are completely and utterly untrue with a straight face. That's coming from this guy. He did it first. Why would you want to be this guy's friend? All right, that's nuts. He wants to destroy you. Why would you think that it would be good to buddy-buddy with him? People do. Why would you think that it would be great to give in to some sin and to be his friend when it's intended to enslave and destroy you? Some sin that you like, you should know, that belongs to the devil. And he wants to use it to get rid of you. We'll look at that in a minute. Stop being his friend. he's hurled down, so he loses his job. The angels throw him down. Why? John 12:31 is going to give us an understanding of why the devil is thrown down. I bet you know a bit about it already as we've been talking. John 12, verse 31, it says this. It's Jesus speaking shortly before going to the cross. Now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast down or driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was about to die. So Jesus has already won, okay? Jesus has defanged the devil. How did he do it? The devil's power is that he has you and I through sin. When we sin, he gets to chain us to his kingdom. And we've been stuck there. But Jesus came along to die so that we could get free of that. He paid the penalty that we had coming so that he could take us back. He said that you don't belong to him anymore. And he dethroned Satan through this act. It was all about what Jesus did on the cross. He accomplished everything. But now I want you to think about this. What happens when he does this? He then says, okay, guys, my children, you finish the job. You finish the job. He leaves it to his followers to deal the final blow. And so here it says that Michael and the other angels have war. They make war with the devil. And look, the devil is not even strong enough for Michael and his pals. Not to mention Jesus, okay? It's like Jesus was like, "Oh, you take care of that. I'm too busy to deal with that guy. You've got this." Okay? Look, some people think that it's like kind of a yin-yang thing, like there's good, but there's also evil, and they're both really strong, and the good is just barely maybe better than the evil. No, that's not that at all. This is nobody to God. He's got this. And he says, "Now my children, I'm going to have you be the ones to overcome." Look at verse 10. He's going to say that explicitly. We are going to overcome the devil. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much to shrink from death. Rejoice, you heavens. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." There's powerful verses here. It's actually the summary of the entire book of revelation. What is the purpose of it? It is so that we would join with Jesus in his salvation and we would overcome. It says they overcame. How did they overcome? Not by anything that they've done, but by what Jesus has done. You are an overcomer. How do you overcome? It's not in your own strength. It's not in your mental powers. It's not that you're clever. It is all about what Jesus has done for you on the cross. It actually says the blood of the Lamb gives you the power to overcome. It's pointing to the cross and it's saying, there lies your strength. There lies your hope. There lies your power. Embrace it. Take up faith in Jesus and you will overcome. Do you guys want to overcome in your life? Are you awake? Yes? Jesus, look to the cross. Look to the one who has died for you and rose again. They overcame by the blood, by the word of their testimony. They took in the good news and then they spoke it out. They testified about Jesus, that he is who he says he is, that he was sent for you to save you, to bring you into a right relationship. Then the world told them to be quiet. The world said, you must be silent. That's not the place for this. You don't say those things here. Go say them in your little church. And they refused because they knew who the world was working for. And they knew where that was coming. But greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. We will overcome. People are telling you to be quiet right now, aren't they? Don't share your faith. You know what? Share your faith. Don't speak out. You know what? Speak out. Make this name great. He will rule. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. This is God's desire for you, that you would accept fully the cross and that you would make known that message, and then you would not shrink from death. What does that mean? Is God calling all of us to die? Yes, to die to self. We are to let go of our lives, let go of the things that we think we want, and to live for this King, and to say, I will live to serve others, I will live to love others, and I will live to love the Father, and I will live to make Jesus known. And that is how you overcome. And who do you overcome? You overcome Satan. There's another verse that says, this is a great one, 16:20. After you have suffered a little while, I'm sorry, Romans 16:20. After you've suffered a little while, God himself will put Satan under your feet. Okay? He can't stop us either. We overcome. We need not fear our adversary. Jesus has won. So now, last, though Satan can and does bother us, he ultimately cannot harm us. Ultimately is a special word. We'll talk about that. Verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for time and a half out of the snake's reach. Then from his mouth, the snake spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony. So Satan is angry, defeated, dejected. He's lost his place in heaven. That is, he's lost the very nicest place to dwell, the one that we want to go to, the one that we want to buy a house at. He's lost it. He's lost his possession, his prize, his job. He said, you're sacked. You're done here. And he thinks to himself, well, I can't hurt God, but I can kind of hurt God if I just hurt the people that God loves. And so he decides that he's going to go and make war with the woman so that he can hurt the person that loves the woman. That's the idea. That's you. So Satan has a desire for you and the desire is to destroy you just so he can spit in God's face. See? You can't keep him. I get them. But it doesn't work. They are carried on eagle's wings. Anyone seen The Lord of the Rings? The scene where after they drop the ring in the volcano, then the eagles come and carry them away. It's this sort of provision, actually. The Lord has used this term to describe what he did for the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt. He carried them on eagle's wings. He safely protected them. And you know what this means? It means that when you walk through the fire, when you go through the midst of this furnace that we call life, God will preserve you. And he will bring you safely into his kingdom. Now, major caveat, actually. That doesn't mean that you're going to live. Jesus didn't, right? God preserved Jesus through death. The idea is, I will bring you home and no one will ever get to you again. You'll be with me forever. This is the promise we have in Christ. We're going to suffer in this life. Some of us may die. We may die for our faith. We may die from the fact that this is a broken world. There's all sorts of reasons we could die, but we will never be lost to Christ. He will carry us on eagle's wings. And then Satan's really upset about that, so out of his mouth comes this river. This is a great place to not take this literally, okay? Out of his mouth comes this river, and it's going to swamp the woman and drown her, and then the earth opens up its mouth and swallows the water. What's that? Well, it looks like Satan is now having a war of words, doesn't it? It's coming out of his mouth, and it's water. That's kind of the evil, and it's a picture of evil and everything that resists God. And so now what Satan is trying to do is he's trying to convince you to kind of step away from God. That's what's going on here. Just come this way. Come away from the safety net, won't you? Won't you come from that lovely place you're dwelling where you have everything you need to this barren, horrible place where I can take you out by myself? That's what he's desiring to do. And he uses his words, and he uses temptation, and he uses all sorts of trickery. And you know what? Satan is the very best with his words, the very best with his desires and just saying, oh, I've got what you need. I think about how you catch a fish. Who's been fishing in here? I know, a lot of people haven't done the things I've done. One? Oh, this is not. Anybody else gone fishing in here? When you go fishing, oh, good, we got two. When you go fishing, you need a lure, right? Why do you need a lure? You're not going to just toss the hook in and they're going to bite it. They're like, that's going to kill me. I wouldn't do that. But if you dress it up, make it look nice. Oh, I'm hungry. I want to eat that. Psh, I've got you. Now you're mine. What happens is that Satan tempts us, and then when we give in to the temptation, we begin to side our life with that temptation, and it gets us further from the Lord. So I'll give you an example. The Bible says there's an appropriate place for sex. It's in marriage. He says, here's a great place for that. But then Satan says, you know what? Just have fun. Oh, why are you so serious? Good grief. That is so serious. Just whoever is willing, and if you think they're attractive, go for it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then you do that. Guess what happens? You start to say, I don't want to listen to the Bible. I want this. I want this. I want this life. Pretty soon you're a little further away from God. And then Satan comes along and says, oh, that's not all I have for you. I got other stuff. I got drugs. I got all those friends that you never had and acceptance. And I got power and prestige. And all you got to do is just leave. Leave the safety so that he can destroy you. By the way, it turns out that whole thing doesn't work out. It doesn't lead to happiness anyway. But that's further on. You're not going to find out that it was a hook until it's too late, until you're already caught. Now look, he can't get to the woman. He can't touch the church. If you belong to Jesus, it's not going to work. If you belong to Jesus, you're not going to be taken from Satan. The earth will open its mouth and swallow up the danger. Sometimes people tell me that they're afraid that they kind of accidentally let the devil in or something, maybe the devil is hurting them or something. I hear that a lot. The devil is hurting me. Demons are hurting me. They can't if you're a believer. They don't have any power. Why? Because Jesus defeated them already. And you belong to him now. And Jesus doesn't let the bad guy touch what's his. So he says, no, you don't have nothing to worry about. All right, we need not fear our adversary. Jesus has won. Let's talk about some conclusions. First, I hope you feel comfort that the devil has really been dethroned. He's been defanged. He cannot harm you if you belong to Jesus. If you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, if you hold fast to the testimony. Those last verses, really good verses, there. They keep God's commands. They hold fast their testimony about Jesus. That word hold fast, that means to really hold on to something and not let go. Have you played tug of war? Hold fast to the rope. Hold fast to Jesus. Don't let him go. And so if you remember that Satan, he was like a dragon and his tail swept a third of the stars out of heaven. That's very interesting. Heaven is like where you want to be. And so these are people who are near God, but something happens. They're not really connected to Jesus. They're not connected to his love and his mercy. They haven't trusted in what happened on the cross. They haven't yielded their life to the Lord. And then something happens and Satan uses that thing to smash them down to the earth. And there they go and there they stay and they get punished right along with the devil. That's what happens. The devil goes down, so do they. How do you not let that happen? Overcome by the blood. Continue to hold the cross. Continue to look to Jesus to be your hope. Never move on from what he did for you until the day that you're with him. And then when you're with him, you'll never move on then either. We never get over this thing that Jesus has done for us, where he's laid down his life for us. Second idea, we have all that we need already. This is really great news. Jesus has overcome, and that means we win. And that means we don't need any more than what we have in Christ. Christ is enough for you. Christ will change you. Christ will reform you. Christ will save you. Christ will love you forever. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.